Hey, mamas! Welcome back to Playfully Faithful Parenting. I'm your host, Joy, and I'm so excited to have you listen in to a conversation I had with my friend Katie. Katie is a certified parent coach with Connected Families and also specializes in helping parents of kids with anxiety. She shares some really cool, playful, and faithful ways to use a coping tool called grounding. So, mamas, get your notepad out because you may want to write some of this stuff down and come back to it later. It's so good. Here we go. Hey, mamas, this is Playfully Faithful Parenting, and I'm your host, Joy Wendling. I'm a seminary grad and children's and family minister turned stay-at-home mom to my 5 girls. Spiritual parenting is my calling, and it's my passion to help other mamas disciple their kids using the power of play and their own authentic daily walk with Christ. If you're a mama who wants to introduce your kids to Jesus and watch as the Holy Spirit transforms their lives, this is the place for you. I'm so glad you're here. So let's dive in and see how we can partner with God today. Hello. Thank you so much for being here today, Katie. Would you like to introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. My name is Katie Wetzel. I am a parent coach certified by Connected Families, and I coach parents through my business, Parent with Hope. I've also gotten special training in SPACE, which stands for Supportive Parenting for Anxious Childhood Emotions. It's a parent-based therapy for kids who are struggling with anxiety, and really follows kind of in step with the Connected Families framework with some additional tools when anxiety is a considerable struggle in families. Before I did that, though, I was a pediatric nurse, nurse practitioner, professor, all the things in nursing and pediatric nursing. And then I have 4 kids. They are ages 6 to 15.
Wow, you are a wealth of knowledge and experience, and I am just really excited to hear what you've got to share with us today. And I know I have friends who have worked with you and have really benefited from that. So I'm excited to learn more today. On our podcast, we talk a lot about spiritual parenting and how that is living out your own authentic faith in front of your kids and then inviting them to know who God is. So we've talked a little bit, you told us a little bit about some anxiety things and other ways that you have done it. What does spiritual parenting look like in your house, and how does God play into all of these, you know, these experiences that you've had?
Yeah, to me, spiritual parenting is about looking at the eternal truths that are maybe beneath our temporal experience, that are the answers to some questions we have about our temporal experience, are the context for how we understand our day-to-day lives, our struggles, our relationships. Spiritual parenting is encouraging my kids in how their experience right now fits in that bigger eternal picture. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So seeing God in both our joy and our play, as you, I love how you focus on that, as well as seeing his presence to comfort us and give us hope in the face of our pain or anxiety. And so, you know, I really kind of use my developmental background and my medical knowledge to kind of be cognizant of like where kids are, but seeing each moment as a chance for them to learn a bit more about God and learn a bit more of what that looks like to trust him and worship him.
I love that. That's great. I think knowing kids' development and the way that God has created them to grow just is so helpful as a parent and in your role as a coach to parents, that can be really helpful to help them, you know, understand what's going on, and that a lot of the things that parents struggle with are really normal and just the way God created their kid, you know, uniquely to grow and learn about his world.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you a playful family? What does play look like in your house?
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, young kids, as you know, are just so driven by play and it's so essential. And so I would say, yes, we're playful. I always want to be more a part of that. I would say it's mostly led by my kids and my husband, if I'm going to be honest about it. But it's so good for me too. And even before I had kids, I really enjoyed that about working with kids by as a nurse. And that's kind of why I pursued that specialty, because I can be very task oriented and good about like being responsible and getting things done. But kids require you to play while you do that. And it was so good for me as someone who is like gung-ho about diving into the heavy things, to have children in the mix who are begging for some levity, who are like, well, let's have fun while we do it. Let's play. You're not going to touch me unless you come playfully, you know? So I would say my kids are more often the leaders of the play in our home. But I am growing more and more a willing participant as I work through what are those barriers, you know, within me that keep me from playing, or externally, like the dishes or, you know, the messy room.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, and you know, they said that the little child will lead them. So let's let them lead us in play. I think that's great. Yeah. And what was your Enneagram type? I know you've mentioned it before.
I am an Enneagram one.
A one. Okay.
And so, yes, I love responsibility. I love like progress and development and problem solving. But in health, I go to a seven, which is that more adventurous, spontaneous. And so I think that's part of why it feels so good for me to have that encouragement to move that direction, to not be rigid about making progress, but to be playful about the progress we make.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm a one too. So I totally understand.
I thought you must be a seven with
No, I am a one, just leaning into that seven.
Yeah.
And I like to play perfectly. So I know that,
okay.
I know that play is the right thing to do for kids. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to strive to go all the way.
Well, that definitely makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. So a few weeks ago, you posted on Instagram about something called grounding. Can you tell us more about that? It was really fascinating.
Yeah. So grounding is a coping skill, right? So it's not necessarily going to help you overcome your anxiety, but it's a way to kind of calm down your experience of it so that you can then move forward to process it if you need to, or to just lessen the intensity of it. And so grounding is, like I said, a coping skill. So you don't want to stop there, but it's a great way to move your child towards actually processing through whatever they're afraid of, or, you know, calming them to face their fear, or just their angst. And so grounding is using your senses to help orient you to the present. So a lot of times with anxiety or dysregulation, either way, we have this tendency to either look into the future, be too future oriented with, well, what if this, and what if that, and what if this, or this might happen, or that might happen. Or we get hung up on the past. Well, this last time this happened, or I remember this and that was scary, or, you know, like last time I couldn't do it. And it felt like, you know, we might kind of, or guilt, right? Or like, I'm never this, I'm never that, whatever. All those two things to say, you're not actually looking at the present moment. You're feeding that anxiety with your imagination when you look in the future, or you're feeding that anxiety with your memory, but looking back in more of a negative way. So both memory and imagination can be really great for tackling anxiety, but sometimes in the acute setting, they work against it and feed it. And so by grounding, it helps us get back in the present moment to to kind of interrupt those unhelpful cycles and reorient to either our memory or our imagination in more positive, anxiety relieving ways or constructive ways. So grounding is using your senses, like I said, to reorient. And so, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can go about it. Some have a 5-4-3-2-1 where it's like five things you can see, four things you can touch, three things you can hear, two things you can taste, or, you know, so you go through the senses. To me, it makes a lot of sense because when a child is anxious, they're usually picking up things in their environment and picking up potential threats, right? So like, wait, I'm somewhere new, or the lights are out, or, you know, there's some sensory component to their environment that's triggered their threat detector. And by saying, let's look at the environment again, and finding those soothing things can kind of override all that threat vision, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I think of it. Maybe that's what makes sense to me. But, you know, for me, it definitely checks out with, you know, when I get overwhelmed, I go to my garden and there are sights and there are sounds and there are smells, and there's so many sensory experiences that it's calming. And on the spiritual end, I just taking that moment in seeing the beauty that God has given us really helps me calm down and feel His presence and His provision. And so, you know, it can go deeper in the spiritual way as well. But, you know, it works without the spiritual element. But again, as Christian parents, when you can worship God through that sensory inventory of what He has given you in your environment and the way He's surrounded you, it brings that deeper element.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love the phrase sensory inventory. I hadn't heard that before.
I just made it up.
Oh, it
maybe
fabulous. I didn't.
Maybe someone said it before.
No, that's fabulous. So just in both my discipling kids and my playful mama way, I can see lots of opportunities with this. Do you use grounding playfully ever? Because you talked about when you feel overwhelmed, you like to go to your garden, which to me would be a type of play. Mm-hmm. You know, gardening for, especially for adults, is a great way to play. It's something that they just enjoy doing and can, you know, have that very playful spirit about it. So do you use grounding playfully ever?
Yeah. I would say my youngest is a really big fan of I Spy. I mean, she just thinks it's the greatest game ever. and it works. So, you know, if they're bored on a road trip, they can play I Spy. You know, I've used it there, but I've also used it when she has gotten upset and seems kind of stuck in that feeling, that I'll be like, huh, what shapes do you see over there? I think I see a circle. What other shapes do you see? Works, right? And so we kind of get that interruption, that refocus. And then I can go back to whatever triggered her and we can work through it much more calmly. Or we did it on a walk to school the other day. We looked at, we did I Spy with the other kids who were walking with us, and it helped her kind of shake off her aggravation. Yeah. So I guess, you know, beyond the I Spy, you know, sometimes it's just like taking a second and me kind of, again, knowing my child and what kind of appeals to them. And so it might be, you know, if my child's upset and I'm being quiet at first, right? Because I don't want to add to their anxiety with my own. And definitely if I'm like, oh, let's do grounding, you know, take a deep breath, let's ground. Some of my kids will feel like I'm trying to control them and really push back against that. And then I become a part of the threats in their environment. And so, again, it kind of starts with me kind of slowing down and taking a deep breath and kind of understanding, like taking a second to really mentally understand what's going on in myself as well as my child. And then I can you know, one of my kids really wants help from me. And so, you know, I might start with instructing like, okay, let's take some deep breaths. And so we might do like square breathing or dragon breathing, or kind of try to make the breathing playful. And then we might, you know, like, do you hear that? Is that a bird I hear? Do you hear that bird? You know, so I might kind of start cueing them into some sensory things in our environment. Again, just to kind of bring that soothing in. You know, a younger kid, they might have a favorite stuffed animal that they can rub and like, oh, does the nose feel different than the hands? You know, and you just start kind of leading them in noticing these different sensory things. And that's kind of calming to them in the moment. And so, you know, my older kids, I want to see them be a little more independent with that. And so I might give just like a gentle cue, but not lead them as directly, because I want them to internalize that and own it. But yeah, it's been helpful. And I'll tell you one more story of when it was helpful. It was in the car, right? So all my kids, all four kids were in the car, and the oldest one was right in the middle, and something happened and he just got really upset and was feeling overwhelmed. And he is one that, I mean, I don't know if all oldest siblings are like this or it's his temperament, but he will take it out on everyone around him given the chance. You know, he's very sensory sensitive. And so I'm trying to help him, but he is right next to younger siblings. And, you know, they're kind of one of them's wide-eyed, like, what's going to happen? The other one's fighting back tears because he's absorbing all the feelings. And then my daughter, who's six, is like ready for a fight anytime someone wants to fight. Like she's a fight. Like she just, yeah, she's game. So if he, you know, says something to her, she's going to fight back, you know, which is not going to go well. So basically I'm assessing the situation. I've got a volatile child and I can't get us anywhere safe to like separate him or whatever. So I use grounding. So I said, all right, let's look out the windows. Who sees something green? What's something green you can see? What other colors do you see? And so I start doing grounding. And so what happened is my other kids had a safe place to put their attention instead of what their brother might do or say or feel. And then my son, who was having a hard time, it created a psychosocial space, I would say, for him to feel his feelings without that temptation to take it out on those around him. And so it was really a really great moment to redirect the children who were okay and make space for that child who was not okay. And then he could kind of talk through his feelings and we could work through it without him feeling like everybody's looking at him, you know?
Absolutely.
So that was one of my favorite stories, using grounding.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I love the kind of using I Spy as a way of grounding for little kids, especially because my kids love it too. My youngest, the three middle ones love I Spy. So I think that's really, really great. And there was just like so many tips in there. I love the talking about the different textures on the stuffed animal, I think is super helpful. Yeah, there's just so much in there. I love that. Do you use it faithfully, like in a discipleship way at any time?
Yeah, I would say it's a more recent intentional technique. Again, it's kind of like you know these things work, but sometimes it's more subconscious.
Yeah.
So especially, like I said, having a big family and trying, again, doing a lot of what didn't work well and then finding something that did, I think I do, because it also brings me into the present as I'm leading my kids and like seeing all the good things and all the beautiful things and all the soothing things in our environment. I get into the present more too. And I have a sincere spiritual experience, I would say, by being in the present and not being consumed with all the other things I need to do or haven't done, or, you know, all those things that we can get wrapped up in our mind. And so as I'm present with them, you know, I can move on to, man, isn't it amazing what God has given us? Isn't it so cool that there are so many different colors? Like, I'm so thankful that God helped somebody come up with stuffed animals as something we can hold in our lap. And in my mama brain, I'm like, and I don't have to feed it or scoop poop for it.
<You know>? Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I have my own thing, something before, but it helps me when we get soothed. It helps lead me towards gratefulness. And then I can lead my kids in that. And for me, I see God's provision in it. And so, yeah, it's something that, like, you know, once I'm like, okay, I found something that works. Okay. Everything's calm. And now I'm moving on towards that next breath. It's like, God's with us right now, right? When we slow down and we get present, God is with us. And again, I'm a nature person. So especially when we're noticing things in nature, I'm like, God made that grow. Do you remember when we planted that? And now look how big it is. You know, look what God did. And yes, those to me are my, are kind of, you know, be directly saying, like, reminding them that God is with us. But I think sometimes those signposts are comforting, you know, that God is here and he's providing, and he's the best comforter, you know, like, he brings us comfort through these things, but he can bring that comfort in our hearts and minds too. So I'm getting better at that. I won't give you a percentage how faithful I am at doing it.
No, that was great. I mean, to me, and just in my head, I'm thinking, oh, just say, can we find five green things that God made? I mean,
yeah.
Yours was so much deeper, and I love that.
Maybe yours is where you can start, because you do have younger kids than me. So maybe that's a good place to start with the really young ones.
Yeah, I'm just really excited. This is a new tool for me to try. I'm really excited to be able to use this. It's something I've heard of in the past, but never heard it quite explained this way or thought about it, you know, through the lens of play and or discipleship. And I think it just, you know, you've shown us today, like, there's so much, you know, opportunity there for both of those things. So I'm really excited to play around with that more and, you know, introduce it to my kids more intentionally. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for sharing this with us. And I just think it's going to be really helpful for the other mamas listening. And so, yeah, I just really appreciate that. Our last thing, I really believe that mamas need play just as much as their kids. So how do you like to play?
Yeah. You know, when I'm alone, I am an extrovert. So when I'm alone, I just chill. But I do find when, like, I'm outdoors, that is play to me. So the garden is play. It's experimenting. It's, you know, it's physical. And I love the garden for that. I've recently gotten back into running. And so when I run, I make up the route as I go. And that feels really playful to me of sometimes just testing my own sense of direction. And so even if I'm doing something that's, like, you know, just a daily healthy habit, finding a way to do it playfully feels really good. And, you know, where I run helps me connect more spiritually in that as well. And then sometimes I really need to do something inconsequential, like just paint my nails a fun color, which I'm not a big, like, nail person, but sometimes I do it just because I need to do something light and inconsequential. Yes. to play, you know? So playing with my kids, it's fun. But I love music and dancing, and nature, you know, playing in nature is one of my favorites. So
that's all sounds like a lot of fun to me. So I love it. Well, Katie, again, thank you so much for being here. And I just can't encourage my audience enough to reach out and follow Katie on Instagram. And I'll have some other ways to connect with you in our show notes. Is there any last thing you would like to share with the audience? Any offers or anything you'd like to tell them about?
So I do have a website. It's parentwithhope.org. And for your listeners, I made a coupon code. If they would like coaching, the code is PFP10. So playfully faithful parenting, PFP10 for 10% off coaching. So if they would like to follow up and dive deeper on, again, parenting in general or dealing with anxiety, that's what I love doing. I love encouraging and empowering parents.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And so thanks, Katie, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Joy.
Well, mamas, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me on Playfully Faithful Parenting. I'd love to keep the conversation going over on the socials. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you felt encouraged or equipped by today's show, do me a favor and leave a review. I can't wait to hear your story. Till next week, keep playing and pointing those littles to Christ.